produce records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at birthnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds. The annual price, $275. Visit birthnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, is Stan Butt from 66 foals in his first three crops of racing aid has sired? Is Stan Ford, winner of Group 2 Stakes at Del Mar, of Stakes at Arlington Park, with seconds in Stakes at Churchill, Tampa Bay, the fairgrounds, earned more than $408,000. Al Bono, winner of graded Stakes at Monmouth Park, plus two more stakes, and placed in six other stakes, four graded, one grade one, for earnings of over $688,000. Mr. Bowling, winner of five stakes, including Group 3 stakes, placed in three other stakes, among them the Grade 3 Iroquois Churchill. He's earned over $400,000. Turkish has won the Grade 3 Valedictory at Woodbine and almost $250,000. Antigun has placed in five major stakes, four graded, including the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, and he's earned more than $509,000. Myositis Dan, placed in graded stakes at Churchill Downs, Young and Lovely in stakes at Fairgrounds, Northern Iowa in the Pomona Derby. Is Dan, small crops, big success. He's a multiple graded stakes winner by Gone West. He stands for $7,500 live fold of Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com and remember the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we are at the clocker stand this morning, and it's kind of a cloudy day, but a nice day. A little humid, but the track's in great condition, and as usual, here at the Thoroughbred Center.
That's nice.
And had about a little over 50 works now, I think maybe, well, pushing 60 probably.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a nice morning.
Nice morning. That's my wife, Jackie. Michael Blowen just walked in.
Yes, sir. Reporting for duty.
Good.
Nice hat.
You like my hat?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you wear? Oh, you're wearing a marquetry hat this morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
You got your thoroughbred aftercare alliance hat?
The horse was a whole lot flashier than your hat. You know?
Yes, no doubt about that.
Yes.
A whole lot flashier
lots
than what's
of,
under the hat, too.
Lots of
well,
crumbs.
No doubt about that. That's a no doubt. Resty's leaving us this morning. Is he gone yet?
Where's he going?
He's got a kid graduating from high school today.
Holy cow.
He's an old man today.
He is old.
Officially is old
this
today.
Is it.
Yeah, he's going to put him to work so he can retire, he says. What's going to happen? So I've got Jeff sitting in with us.
That's it, Jeff.
Jeff's from California. He didn't know any better, so he showed up.
The fabulous state.
You don't know what you let yourself in for,
no.
Jeff.
All right. Yes. Fasten your seatbelt, Jeff.
No, baby.
All right. Well, I think we're good to go. And so far this morning.
Yeah.
And, been a good week at Old Friends.
Well,
tell me about it.
Well, Barbara Livingston's been out here practically all
really?
Week taking photographs.
Really?
I want her to come by so she can be on the show.
Well, she was thinking about doing it today, I think, but she's feeling a little under the weather. I don't blame her. She's been running around, you know, in the rain and running around everything. She's a real perfectionist.
I'll
so
bet.
Tim are
kind of like me.
Yeah. Yeah, me and you together.
No, that's perfect, not that, perfectionist.
You know,
that's
she
perfect.
Has the same curse as my wife. Mm-hmm. You know, they're perfectionists. As you
despite
can tell from me, that's not a malady I suffer from.
Right.
So Tim, our farm manager, who you know, she had a long list of the horses, and you know, she wanted these to look a certain way, do this, do that, do the other thing, right?
Uh huh.
So Tim's looking at her, and he goes, "You know, you are a real pain. You are a real pain."
Right? That's great.
And, but he says, "I have to tell you, you know, the photographs that you take are so great, and they do so much for the farm that you're worth the hassle." So that's her motto now.
Oh, worth the hassle.
Oh,
that's cute.
But last night it was so much fun because I got to take Silver Charm up to the top of the hill. Actually, he dragged me to the top of the hill. You know, it's really funny. You know, when he was racing, he wouldn't let any horses pass him. He'd always look him in the eye, and he'd give him like an inch or two. And
how come he got beat so often?
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
What did he say? He said,
how come he got beat so often?
He didn't get beat very often. He didn't get beat in the Derby. He didn't get beat in the Preakness. He didn't get beat in the Dubai World Cup.
Well,
he saved it for the important stuff.
Yeah, he got beaten to Belmont because he didn't see that other horse coming. Ask McCarron the next time he's on.
Oh, Chris.
Did Chris blow blinkers?
Did Chris blow another one?
No. Chris beat him. I mean, this is a true story.
Chris beat him.
Chris rode Silver Charm up until the Derby.
Yeah.
He had the mount. And when Silver Charm came up for the Derby, Chris felt a particular loyalty to Ron McAnally.
Yeah.
And Ron McAnally had a horse that was going in the Derby. And so he stayed on that horse, and he turned over the mount to Gary Stevens. Mm-hmm. But what Chris remembered is that if Silver Charm saw you coming, it was going to be very, very hard to get by him. And so what he
changed
really...
the story,
so
he,
I didn't change any story.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is he talking? What is with him today?
I don't know. It made
God, you have to go home with him. Oh, my goodness gracious. At least this show has a time limit.
Well, you got to be nice to him because it's his birthday today.
Oh, that's the answer. He's
woke up cross.
I got his beer. I don't know if he tapped it already.
Yeah, well, all right. We've had a number of opportunities for him to make excuses.
I don't know how you got by my car. I've got a six-pack of Sam Adams sitting down there. The Ressie bought me. Was it Cole Ressie?
Yes, sir.
Gone.
I should. Jackie, go rock.
I brought you a bunch of bookmarks here. There you go.
Yeah, look at those. Aren't they nice?
Friends, bookmarks. Oh,
yeah.
I'm going to finish this story
and
about Chris.
And we even read.
So, anyway.
I was afraid of that.
So Chris is on the outside, and he's literally hiding. And Silver Charm already knows he's got the horse on the inside beat Freehouse.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Touch Gold appears on the outside with Chris. And Chris said, we were losing to him before the finish line and after the finish line, but not at the finish line. I knew if he saw us coming, we'd be in trouble.
Right.
So last night, to make this long, excruciatingly painful story a little longer, last night, Barbara was taking pictures of Big Silver Charm, and we went to the back of the paddock, and I had him by a lead rope, and he wouldn't let me get in front of him. I mean, every time I got a half a step in front of him, he came around and tried to knock me over because he didn't want me to pass him. But I'm telling you, it was such a thrill watching him run from the top of the hill down to the bottom.
I'll bet.
It was a real thrill. 21 years old, he's doing fabulously well.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just like me.
There you go.
21 years old again.
No, happy birthday, Ursula. This is great.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
The cake with the girl in it will be arriving a little later.
When I leave.
I celebrate every morning.
Right.
I wake up and say, thank you, God.
There you go. One more day.
One more day.
And Jackie looks at her watch.
I got to tell you about Jackie's brother-in-law, Ron's father. Ron Sweat's father.
Ron Sweat, yeah.
He's up in his 90s, and he's got everything world, and a great UK basketball fan. And he was watching the UK basketball team play down in Bermuda or wherever it was down there, you know. And he watched them play, and he says, God, give me one more year.
Well, that's he made great. It. That is great.
He made it.
It was a good year to make.
Yeah, it really was.
Now we got Saturday, we've got the... You know, a week from today, it's the Belmont Stakes.
You going?
It's exciting. Yes.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, we'll
leaving on Thursday. Coming back, I'll be home on Sunday, I think.
Diane going?
No.
No.
She doesn't like crowds. Well, that's what she says. Maybe she just doesn't want to go with me.
Yeah,
that could be.
Yeah.
Let's all, the whole chorus came up with that simultaneously. That's excellent.
I didn't have to say anything.
No, not a thing.
Yikes.
Oh,
women, I had a question. Oh, how long is Barbara Livingston going to be here?
I think till the end of the week. I think till tomorrow.
Wow.
But she's been out taking some unbelievable pictures. She has a picture of Tinner's Way on her Facebook page now. This spectacular.
Is that right?
Yeah. Worth the hassle.
Worth the hassle.
Worth
That's
the
great.
Hassle. It'd be a good name for a horse, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Worth the hassle.
It would be. So, and then on, is it on Tuesday that Milt Toby's going to talk about Nora Kamlin?
Yes.
That'll be a good event.
6 o'clock or 6:30?
I think 6:30. Let me double check.
Yeah, tell me, because I left the announcements at home. That's
6:30 to 8:30, June 2nd, Kamlin Library.
Yeah, there we go. See, that's an announcement I would have made if I hadn't screwed up.
Following the presentation, enjoy a reception and book signing with Toby. A limited number of copies will be available for purchase at the lecture. And if they run out there, we have it available. It's a fabulous Old Friends gift shop.
Ah, thank you for that information. So
there's an announcement you'd make a little later, Jackie.
Yeah. Another announcement.
Yeah, you can remember about the planks and things they got for sale out here.
Yeah.
You can remember two or three.
You got any announcements coming up?
Let's see.
No. Well,
what's a horse you just got in New York?
Be Bullish.
Be Bullish.
Yeah, yeah. He goes to
Old Prince of Cabin Creek.
Cabin
outside
Creek,
Saratoga.
Yeah.
Yeah, he arrived in great condition. He's an old battler, an old gelding. He won his last three races.
I read about that. Was it in the Blood Horse or where?
Somebody claimed him in his last.
Yes, well, Mike Rapoli claimed him. Just to retire him.
16,000.
That's correct.
Man, just to retire.
What a guy. He put in a claim for me. So I'll retire too.
You'll have to drop a little further.
Yeah. I can't. I'm scraping the bottom now.
Yeah, that was great of Mike. And he arrived at Joanne's the day before yesterday.
Good.
And he looked great. And I think he's going to be a really good attraction up there. He deserves his retirement. And,
good.
And we're really pleased. So that's really good. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So last week we had Bob Baffert and Dana Barnes and her husband Jimmy Barnes, the people are all with American Pharoah, invited all the Old Friends volunteers to come visit them.
Oh, so we went. So you went. How'd that go?
It was great.
Oh,
went
fun.
To Churchill.
Mm-hmm. Went to Churchill to the backside with a bunch of the volunteers.
Fun.
Thoroughbred Heritage Tours let us use their van for free, and I got to drive it.
Oh my God!
I got to bore people all the way up and all the way back with my fabulous stories.
Good.
I said, "Do you need another cup of coffee? You getting a little sleepy back there?" They go, "No, it's just." And he got your stories. Oh, here's something else.
Uh-huh.
That was great. Though seeing American Pharoah was really great.
See, it's gorgeous as he looks. See?
I told Bobby he should adopt the Muhammad Ali phrase: "Floats like a butterfly,
stings like a bee."
Because he is unbelievable. He doesn't even. It's like he doesn't even touch the ground.
He's supposed to work today or tomorrow.
Yeah,
his last work.
Yeah, then they're gonna ship.
But I'm glad they decided to work him.
Well, it's been work. Great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's working twice.
Good. Laying off sometimes makes him peak. That's scary.
Well, Martin Garcia was saying whoa from the time they started till the time they finished.
Oh, fun.
He could wait. That horse couldn't wait to get out of the stall and run around a little bit. But he's really impressive. I don't know if he'll win the Belmont or not because we know how difficult that is, but he's clearly one of the best horses I've ever seen in my life. He's just unbelievable.
Good.
And he doesn't put any, some of these horses, they dig in and they drive. You can just see it, and he's like a ballerina. Just skates across the top.
That's nice. So you watched him.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh. That is nice.
Can I interrupt you guys?
Yeah, but
I got to pay some bills.
Don't leave.
The host wants to interrupt. It's a terrible thing.
I hate it when that happens.
Let me see where in the hell I am here. Okay, Horace Greeley. He's never missed. He's sired graded stakes winners in every crop to race a full season, and that's a point to consider, especially when for you breeders that want to race. He also does very well at the sales. His two-year-olds have sold for an average of $107,000 last year, which is pretty darn good considering his stud fee is a modest $2,500, and you don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses. Getting back to his graded stakes winners, clearly now has won three graded stakes, two at Belmont, one at Gulfstream, placed in nine more stakes. Six of those were great, including the Grade 1 Carter. Set a new track record going 7-8 and won 19-4 at Belmont, and has earned over $912,000. Really, Mr. Greeley won Graded Stakes at Hollywood Park. Leave the Light On won Grade 2 Remsen as a two-year-old just last year. And while he's yet to win a Graded Stakes, Go Greeley was a champion two-year-old colt of his year in Canada. He won three stakes up there, and he's earned over $400,000. Now, that's a lot of run for the stud fee. So if you have a late foaling mare, call Bernie Sams at Cleburne Farm, 859-233-4252, and see the website at cleburnefarm.com.
It's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. When we moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended the Hopewell Company, and that was 28 years ago.
Thank you.
They've been taking care of our stuff ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms, racing stables. You're dealing with Joe and Ted McLean. Of course, Ted was with Lucian Lauren when Secretariat was on the roll. So they know what they're talking about. They also cover our home, barn, vehicles, horse trailer. Whew, the cover blew up off of my horse trail. Plus, they do our liability coverage, and they've been right there whenever we needed them. Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They work for us, not the insurance companies. Therefore, they give us the best coverage and the most competitive prices from the best financially sound, reputable insurers. contact the Hopewell Company. They're prepared to provide you a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company, 820 South Main Street in Paris, 987-2347, or here's the Lexington number, 254-2431. You'll get great service. We guarantee it.
Great organization down at from Bourbon County. And there are two more organizations you should know about down in Bourbon County, Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency. And the Clay Ward Agency was founded back in 1931, and they've been providing the finest in equine insurance for well over 80 years now. And their success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. And those qualities are still carried on today. So whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are in a position to supply the best coverage at the best price available. So give Shaq Parrish or Bruce Isaac or John Hess a call at the Clay Ward Agency. The number is 859 number, 987-1861. Or you can stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Also, ask about the services available over at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. They've raised at least four champions out there. And Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Great farm to know, great place to board your horses. They do a wonderful job at the sales. So I would suggest you get in touch with Indian Creek. Let me give you their number. I'll call Shaq Parrish or Nikki Drime. It's a 859 number, 987-7443. And here's the website. It's IndianCreekKY.com. IndianCreekKY.com.
Well, thanks to your free Sunday racing form that you generously donate to me every week.
Well, if I don't give it to you, you'll steal it. So
I can... Yeah.
Yeah, you put a nice spin on that one.
Very nice. Well, he talks about Silver Charm. He's talking about, he's back at Belmont for Silver Charm's 1997 Triple Crown attempt, still aglow from a Preakness squeaker over Freehouse and Captain Bodgett that ranks as one of the true classic thrillers. That night, in a Mount Washington eatery not far from Pimlico, owner Bob Lewis had asked each one of his guests to say a few words about the day and what it meant to them. Bill Knack, Secretariat's biographer, rose to remind everyone that since the time of Sir Barton, there always had been at least one Triple Crown winner grazing somewhere in the field as a living reminder of that remarkable achievement. We won't go on, but I'll go on with Jay Hubdy. Knack's eloquence pretty much stuck a fork in Silver Charm's chances, although he beat every horse he could see in the Belmont before Touch Gold ambushed him on the far outside.
Ah!
There you go. Every once in a while, he's
throwing up some more circumstantial evidence.
Every once in a while, Mr. Fabulous is correct.
Jay of Day. He's a great writer.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
okay. He is. Yeah. So that's going to be. I'm very, very excited about
every horse he could see.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said. Yeah. You don't have to believe me.
But, oh, he's been talking to Chris McCarron.
There you go.
Always a mistake.
What's new? Coming
well,
up.
We're working on improving our road system with new rock, and Wade Houston, who's our guy there, our maintenance guy, has done an amazing job at landscaping and taking care of the brush and keeping everything mowed and making everything look good and looking towards the future. So the auxiliary property that we're leasing now, we're starting to put in some roads over there to make it
easy
to get back and forth. And then very shortly, we'll be opening up the old friends at Kentucky Downs, Corey Johnson. We're very excited about that.
Nice.
And we'll be sending a few horses down there to start with.
When?
I'm not exactly sure. In a few weeks. We're still waiting
than months.
Oh, yeah. Good. It'll be there in weeks. So, but it'll be there through the summer. We'll have them in there by the end of June.
Oh, well, that's
at the latest. So it's very exciting. And they built a wonderful welcome center for us down there where we can have our refreshments and have the races.
And where is this again? I forget where
Kentucky Downs. It's right on the border of Tennessee down there.
That's the track when we went down there and you put gasoline in the diesel truck.
Diesel truck, right. And we did not win. And the
dueling
guy, we
grounds.
Got a crappy ride.
Yeah. It used to be dueling grounds.
Yeah, but
they're going to have steeplechase racing. What do you mean where?
What's the closest Kentucky town?
Franklin?
Oh, okay.
Franklin, Tennessee.
Now I know where it is.
It's not too far from Bowling Green, is it?
No. Yeah. No, it's between Bowling Green and Asheville.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep going right past the Corvette Museum, and then you'll see our museum. Also, they built a special display case down there where we're going to display some of the old friends' Bobby Frankel trophies.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, that's neat.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, they've got some really good ideas down there. And, you know, this year they're going to have a steeplechase.
When?
I'm not sure what the date is. They're still working, I think. Well, they may know what the date is. I don't. I'll let you know next week or the week after.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And
good.
I found out that Rosie's sister, who trains horses, Jazz
Napravnik. Rosie Napravnik, for people that are listening.
Yeah. Rosie's like Madonna. You know, just say Rosie.
Yeah.
Like Prince who? Rosie. Like who?
Did you say Madonna?
Yeah.
She should smack you for that.
She probably will.
Yeah, if she heard that, she probably will.
I don't know. I'd like to see
her compared
to Rosie.
Yet?
No, she's due in a couple weeks.
Ah, okay.
Maybe a week and a half. I don't know. She's still working, though. I saw her in the Winter Circle the other day, Churchill Downs.
Good.
Her husband's got 60 horses in his stable now.
He's an unbelievable trainer.
Whoa, 60? Yeah.
You know, if you did, if you started with $5 and bet Joe Sharp since the time he started, he'd be very wealthy.
Really?
Yeah. He always knows where to put them. They very seldom finish out of the money. He had one yesterday finish out of the money, but it ran into terrible traffic problems coming down the stretch. He couldn't get through and clipped heels. And
I noticed Ken Ramsey sent him some.
Yeah. 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 Ken likes them.
Booking right along if he sent him some.
Yeah. Well.
Ken says as long as you keep winning, we'll be all right.
That's exactly.
You know Ken. As soon as you start losing, you better start looking
for
another owner.
Yeah, well, he's he's been very good to Joe, and Joe's gotten some nice horses. In fact, the horse that got beat yesterday, they got in all that trouble, got beat by a Ramsey horse.
Oh, funny. Mm-hmm.
Who was training that one, Mike?
I can't remember. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was a Churchill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah, so things are going good. We're real excited. We've got a lot of visitors coming over the weekend. And we've had busloads of people. We had people from Australia, New Zealand, Germany this week.
Really?
Yeah. It was really fun. And the Australians wanted to go see that horse. We have the mare that we got from Binary named Bintmar Skay. She was a champion in Australia. So we
Bring
rode up to the back.
Go get her.
Yeah. Rode her up to the back, and they got to see her. So that was fun.
Oh, good. Yeah, it looks good.
Who took the pictures for your
bookmarks?
Bookmarks.
Different photographers.
Different.
Rick Capone took some of them.
They're
I see you got my mare in there.
Mm-hmm. Hidden Lake.
Yeah.
These are the exciting new line of dollar bookmarks that you can purchase at All Friends. Not that anybody knows what a book is now. We need
That's
a bookmark.
That's what I said. Thank
computer.
You. We read.
Yeah, really.
I'm old-fashioned. I still read.
Yeah, and we have bookmarks, as long as people know what they are.
I'm reading three different books right now.
You know, the other thing that was, we had our memorial service on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And we had about 90, maybe 100 people come.
Wow.
And it was nice. And
we
talked about
invited,
the horses.
Were we?
Yes, you were. I mentioned
it
on the program.
Yeah, there was something.
You didn't even mention it on the program.
I did, too.
Yeah, he did, but something
You don't
happened.
Remember this stuff. Good thing, too, half the time. But anyway, one of the really cool things is Peter Wilmot came all the way from Chicago.
Good.
He owned Williamstown, and he's the president of Toba.
Yeah.
Thoroughbred owners and breeders.
Yeah.
And he came all the way from Chicago to talk about Williamstown on Memorial Day. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah.
And then
amazing.
A lot of the fans came, said very, very nice things about the horses. And Bill Mooney did a fabulous job with the eulogies. As
How's
he does
Bill
every
doing,
year.
By the way?
He was doing good on Monday. He was doing really good, you know. You know, we're thinking about him, and he's gone through a struggle, as most people may know. He's going through a struggle with cancer, but he did a remarkable job as usual.
Yeah.
Good. Keeping busy and doing stuff like that is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're certainly the beneficiary of his generosity, because he does such a really good job of being succinct and. No, not a quality that it's a quality I admire that I clearly don't have. In fact, Diane, you know,
like humility.
There's a horse running. There's a horse running today at Belterra in the third race, and I reminded Diane. It's a non-winner. It's a three lifetime, I think. And years ago, a couple years ago, I. I was giving a talk before the Louisville Thoroughbred Club before Manny and his group. They own a lot of horses. And I came home to tell Diane, you know, about this, my wonderful speech. And she said, how'd it go? I said, it really went great. And she says, really? I go, yeah, it went great. They were really happy and everything else. I said, they're so happy. Guess what they're going to do? She goes, what? I go, they're going to name a horse after me. So she says, what are they going to call it? Blabbermouth. Well, anyway, this horse running today in the third race called Blabbermouth.
Is that the one?
No, it's not. No. It's just a coincidence.
Somebody took your name. Yeah. Oh. That's great. You gonna bet it? Is it gonna win?
No. I don't think so.
No. Okay.
He's winning. He's running in a non-winners of three, and he's eligible for non-winners of two.
Oh well, he couldn't get in, evidently.
I don't know.
Either that or the trainer
they didn't write
the book.
It.
Well, who knows? Well, sometimes it's hard to get in down there.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
is.
It's a five-horse field. I don't think that's...
Well, that's true.
Five or six-horse field.
You want to stay in there, those kind.
Yeah.
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 Maybe the non-winners of two has got...
Dr. Waldron said he's going to be a little bit late today, but he'll be here.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Because Tim and Carol, Tim Wilson and Carol Wilson, who work at the farm, they're taking the emergency safety course that they're giving at UK today about equine health and safety.
Oh, this is a big weekend at UK for equine stuff. It's a...
That's one of those announcements you forgot.
Yeah, well, you all get out there and Google it and come up with it and do my job for me.
So they're doing that. So Brian had to go over to the barn and take care of Love Me Do, their horse today.
Oh,
and so he's doing the stall and hot walking and giving the horse a bath.
The real stuff.
Doing the hard stuff. So
yeah.
That's why he'll be a little late. But I know you're looking at your watch, so that means that's my cue. I'm
going to
go do a tour now.
Good.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right.
I get to feed Silver Charm some more carrots.
I believe that's my guest out there anyway.
This?
He's an hour early, but I don't care.
Okay.
Who's the guest?
Let me look. Ron Mirsky.
Oh, great. Excellent.
Trotting Horse Man.
I'm only asking the hard questions today.
Trotting Horse Man.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
Trotting Horse Excellent. Man. And again, thanks for the racing for him, and I do hope Blabbermouth does win.
I do, too. That'd be fun.
What's the odds on Blabbermouth today?
8-1.
8-1?
That's not
bad. Okay.
So
well, okay.
Odds.
Well, in 2015, Irish Jasper won the Grade 3 Edina Springs Miss Preakness Stakes. Fame and Power has won the $100,000 Sir Barton Stakes at Pimlico, placed in the Grade 3 Coolmore Lexington Stakes at Keeneland. Tom Belaine has won the Tetrit Stakes at the Curra after running second in the two Group 2 Stakes as a two-year-old, one in Great Britain, the other in Ireland. Ab Seal is a group placed in this year in Great Britain. So is Dance Track. All three-year-olds, all by first defense. In addition, Dundonnell has won the Group 2 Sprint Cup in Hong Kong. He's also won group stakes in Great Britain to become the second millionaire from the first crop by first defense. First defense, Sarvin Eclipse Award winner, and a two millionaires in his first crops, stands at Judmont Farm. His fee is $10,000 for a live foal. Already a proven sire, Superior Stakes winners, first defense has a great upside. His best crops of foals have yet to reach the races. Call Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and ask him what's on the way for first defense. The number is 859-272-7629, and you can see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van, my favorite bank service, has been in business for 60 years or longer. During that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack have been entrusted to their care, and they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top shape, but the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van. They're experienced drivers, and believe me, they are experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, across the country or across the county. When you load your horse onto a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. Sally Van, they wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why, for more than a half a century, Sally Vans have been the safest way to the winner's circle. That's 255-9640. Website, SallyHorseVans.com.
Well, Paintner's a grade one winner and millionaire. Got a great sire pedigree.
He's one of 14 Grade 1 winners by Awesome Again, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and Sire Breeders' Cup Classic winner Go Zapper. Those two stand for stud fees of $75,000 and $60,000. Painter's Dam is a full sister to Hall of Famer and champion Sire Tisnow, fee $75,000, and to the Dam of a Preakness winner. Great family. Tisnow is our 13 Grade 1 winner. Painter is the fastest son of Awesome Again since Go Zapper, one of the gamest runners ever to step on a racetrack. He recorded a 107 Byer in the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, was second by a neck in the Grade 1 Belmont. Then, after coming back from a near-fatal illness, ran the fastest Byer under a mile in 2013, a brilliant 114 to gain the admiration of the racing world. Good morning. Breeders came to see him, liked him, and he covered 127 mares in his first crop of stud this year. His first foals, as expected, are outstanding. Painter stands for $25,000. You don't have to pay it until a foal stands up and looks at you. And he stands at Windstar Farm. Call Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, I guess you're Ron Mirsky.
True.
Okay.
So far, you're off to a heck of a start.
You're on a roll.
All right. I need to be on a roll. Well, we've never met.
No, sir, we have.
No?
But a really pleasure meeting you.
Well, it's nice meeting you, my friend, and thanks for stopping by.
Well, I appreciate the invite. I really do.
Well, I don't have many standardbred people around here to talk to.
Well, there's a reason for that. There's not many of us.
I understand that. I've got a friend that runs Coldstream.
Okay.
And he's got all kinds of standard breeds down there.
Yep.
About 100 different mares on there.
Well, I'm a much smaller operation. I'm in the poor people's horses, and I'm a poor person. Okay. So I have a few mares.
Well, welcome to the club.
Pardon me?
I said, welcome to the club.
Okay.
Ron, where are you from originally?
I was born in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But I've lived all over the Mid-Atlantic, and this is my second sojourn into Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I was a professor at Morehead State.
Is that right? What'd you teach?
Educational administration.
Okay. Didn't have a whole lot to do with standard breeds.
No, but my father had always had standard breeds. He drove and trained.
In Pennsylvania?
In Pennsylvania, and he raced all up and down the East Coast.
Yeah, so that's how you got interested in it.
Exactly. My one brother's a vet. Mm-hmm. So it kind of evolved into it, although my career path was in education, and then in 1981, my wife and I bought our first standard bred.
In 81.
In 81. May 9, 1981, at Delaware, Ohio.
Got that down pat, Eddie.
How long did you teach?
He was going broke for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I taught at Morehead State for 5 years. I got my tenure in April, and I left in July.
Holy cats. You sell that tenure to anybody? It's like liquor license if you can find somebody to buy it.
But the reality is, in higher ed, I saw that I had colleagues that were older and had tenure and weren't really into the game anymore, and I didn't want that to happen to me, so I left and became a school superintendent.
Yeah. Well, you were born in Pennsylvania then.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir. And Lancaster County.
Oh.
Where'd you go to college?
Lancaster is where a lot of Amish live.
Yeah, that's the Amish.
Yeah. My father actually had a sales barn in New Holland, Pennsylvania, which is still in operation.
Really?
That's where the vet school is, isn't it?
University of Pennsylvania.
Vet.
Is nearby. Yeah. No, New Holland doesn't have a vet school.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a vet surgery or something in New Holland, Pennsylvania.
Well, quite possibly. Okay. New Holland is one of these few towns where you have parking meters and you also have hitching posts.
Oh, nice.
Is that right?
They sure do.
Yeah.
Wow. It's also a killer auction or something, isn't it?
Well, that's at the sales barn. A lot of unfortunate horses go and meet their demise.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a thing. They've outlawed those guys now. But,
yeah, exactly.
They'll weasel around it some way.
Well, it's just good that if you have a horse that is no longer useful on the track, to try to place it to people, because they really do make a good pets, riding horses, yeah, and various disciplines, you know.
You don't have to sell me. I've got some of them at home.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. So you went with your dad on the, you learned about standard breeds that way? Or?
Well, yeah. And I was always interested in research and that type of thing. So I went to the broodmare side because pedigrees, I studied those. And so when we got into the business, that's what we did.
So you breed?
We have 18 mares on our place.
All your own?
Well, no, some are for clients.
I hope most of them.
It's about 50-50.
Yeah, okay.
About 50.
Well, you're just breaking even then.
Exactly. But my wife tells me, you know, we should have fewer. And she doesn't understand basic economics. You have to do something in order to make money.
Yeah.
That just hurts my feelings.
Where is your farm?
My farm is on Escondida Road.
Oh, in Bourbon County.
Exactly, and it's actually contiguous to Stone Farm.
Oh,
okay. You're rubbing elbows with Arthur.
Well, we have on occasion done so. Occasionally I've helped him when his cows get loose.
Okay. I'll have to get on him about that.
No, really, really a nice person. And Hiddenbrook is also next to me.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Boy, they raise a lot of runners there.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of the poor boy in between.
You're in between Hiddenbrook and Stone?
Yes, I am.
Well, that's why you've got good neighbors.
I have very good neighbors and a lot of stability, so that's really good.
Exactly. How many acres do you have there?
I have 78.
78 acres.
78, yes.
Okay. It's acres per horse.
Pardon?
I said it's acres per horse.
I wish.
Yeah.
Set of horses per acre. Yeah, right.
My wife and the girl that works for us, Katia, they insist that I need to either get fewer horses or more land. So,
okay. Well, it's probably cheaper to get fewer horses.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is your wife really interested in the business too?
No, she is, and she works right on the farm with us. And she grew up with riding horses, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's a great stall cleaner.
Well, okay.
Yeah, she and I have something in common.
There you go.
She keeps the books.
Yeah.
She and I have something in common.
She does a better job.
She lets me know what degree we're in red.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. I understand.
Ooh.
I understand. So it's green, what do you call it?
Green Creek.
Yeah. Do you have a creek?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And guess what its name is?
I would imagine it was Green.
You are really on a roll.
I understand that sometimes it's kind of hard to get across it.
Uh-oh.
We've been told tales.
Uh-oh.
I want to hear this story.
Yeah, we want to hear this one.
Well, it is a true story, and it's kind of an embarrassing story. We had a 1996 Jeep. Thanks a lot.
No, one beat.
Okay. And it was one morning when it had rained heavily and Green Creek, as it's wont to do, was rising rapidly. But I mistakenly thought I could get across the creek to the horses on the other side.
In a Jeep. Okay.
I was not successful.
Okay.
The Jeep drowned. And I almost did so also.
Whoa. Is that right? Whoa.
My wife called 911. Okay.
Was she standing there watching you?
Yes, and she was not deleting her expletives. And
this is great.
So I got out on the other side, and then she saw that I was safe, and so she called 911 and said, basically, it's off. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So since I couldn't get across again, I had to go. Actually, I hiked through my fields and through Arthur's fields.
Oh, funny.
And she picked me up on the other side where Arthur's Lane is. Well, everything seemed to be fine at that point, although I was still
wet
and getting an earful. In any case, so I came home, took a shower, got on the computer, and there was a knock at my door. And I went and answered the door, and here was a lady from Channel 18 in Lexington. She had had her scanner on and heard that there had been an accident at Green Creek Farm, and I feigned no knowledge whatsoever.
That's funny. That's great. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, you made that poor girl, one of those little reporters, those little gals, come all the way out.
She thought she really had the scoop.
Exactly. This was going to be it.
She
really
did.
Her prize. Yeah.
I'd have gone and jumped in the creek for her again, you know, if she could film you.
No, I try to keep my head down anyway, and I certainly didn't want to keep a wet head.
Well, how did the Jeep come out of it?
It died, you know.
It got pulled out.
It got pulled out, and
it was deceased.
It was, but it had been a good old friend.
Picked a burial at sea.
Oh, my God. All right, wait a minute. I'm going to take a break here. I'll get right back to you, Ron. I'm talking to Ron Mirsky over here. That was worth giving you in here just to hear that story. You'll have to blame Crystal on that one.
Go right. Is that? Well, yeah.
Well, May 14th, the Church of Downs fleet encounter, a mare by Interdeb, sprinted 5 furlongs on the grass, 57 flat, to win an allowance optional claiming race. Didn't run for the tag. That was her 13th career victory. She's earned over $244,000. She's one of 15 individuals by Interdeb to earn $100,000 or more. Others include the multiple graded stakes winner. He also set a new track record at Churchill. Greater Good, winner of over $546,000. Head, Heart, Hoof, a graded stakes winner in New York, where he also set a new track record, going 5.5 furlongs for earnings of more than $519,000. Dad Nabbit, a multiple stakes winner at Monmouth Park, earned of over $282,000. Lauren Tide Ice, a multiple stakes winner in New York of over 236,000, and there are more, but you get the picture. In the Dab Sires Runners for a modest stud fee, $2,000 live full. He stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes, 859-224-4585. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. Hey, Jackie, you want to take care of our friend Ralph Quillen down at...
Certainly. Quillen Leather and Tack down in Paris, Kentucky. It's on Main Street. If you just drive straight in instead of taking the bypass, you go a couple lights up anyway.
Third stoplight
across from Ken's. And it's a gray frame, what was originally a house. But anyway... The nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship about 20,000 halters a year worldwide.
That's just what they ship out.
That's what they ship out. Yeah, it's worth a trip in there if you're just looking for a birthday present or something for somebody. But speaking of halters, they've got them all. They've got double buckle, adjustable chin, the English chin, rolled throat, throat snap, rolled nose, you name it, they'll make it for you. They also, of course, they have leather shanks and leather everything. This is a Kentucky halter. Is a double buckle English chin triple stitch nose. That's the kind I
like.
Yeah, but they last. They're wonderful. Of course, they have shanks, stallion shanks. They have twitches. They have foal halters. They have the figure eight and the regular full halter, so you can't go wrong. They've also got dog and cat collars with brass nameplates and so on and so forth, and a great gift shop. Now, we all know about Quillen.com, Q-U-I-L-L-I-M. Don't forget the new place in town, Rooster Brew. It's open every afternoon.
No, Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Where they have 100 bottles of beer on the wall. And if that isn't good enough for you, fooey on you.
They brew some of their own, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Quillen, Quillin.com.
All right. Well, May 21 in Belmont, Uncle Vinny, a 2-year-old from the first crop by Uncle Mo, set Tongue's Wagon with an impressive 4.5-length score and a maiden special. That was his first start of his promising career. Bred by Gilbert Campbell and sold as a yearling in September at Keeneland for $175,000. Uncle Vinny is trained by Todd Pletcher. The first starter from the first crop by Uncle Mo is Outwork, also trained by Todd Pletcher. Outwork, not only was Uncle Mo's first starter, he was Uncle Mo's first winner. A homebred by Ripoli Stable, he won his career debut at Keenan by taking a maiden special by 2 1/4 lengths. So he's had 4 starters now, 2 winners, and 2 placed in his first crop. 2-year-olds Boncomo have sold for $750,000 and $600,000 this year, and his first crop yearlings average over $108,000. Market Watch, Tab Boncomo is likely to top the freshman sire list in 2015, and he's sure headed in that direction. Boncomo stands at Ashford Stud. You see his outstanding second crop yearlings at the sales this year. For more on the stands at Ashford Stud, call the farm at 859-873-7088. See the website at coolmore.com. All righty. Don't write on the walls. Right. Know where she's going. Huh? Yeah, right. All right, I'm talking to Ron Mirsky here of Green Creek Farm. Standard bred. I don't know anything about standard breds. You know, it's I've been to the Red Mile a couple of times. Does that qualify me?
Probably as well as anybody. Now, standard breds are a breed that is still evolving. Unlike thoroughbreds, which is a made breed. You take, for example, Citation in 1948 when he won the Triple Crown and his times in those races. If he were racing today, he would still be a champion with those same times. Whereas standardbreds, if you had a horse that went in 2:05, 2 minutes and 5 seconds, in 1948, you had a really good horse. And now if you had a horse raced in 2:05, well, he wouldn't be racing because he wouldn't be good enough to race even in the cheapest of claimers.
Yeah. Now, I've got to ask you, wouldn't the difference in track maintenance have something to do with that?
Track maintenance has something to do with it. Certainly equipment, the sulkies, those buggies that some people call them.
Yeah.
That are driven, they have become much lighter, much more aerodynamically designed. But it's also the change in the breed has been great. You know, they used to be called, not so affectionately, jugheads.
Uh-huh.
Well, those jugheads have become pretty refined now.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I have a standardbreds, for example, that look very much like the thoroughbreds next door to me. And as a result of that, they have become, like thoroughbreds, less hardy. Mm-hmm. And now they are still a much more hardy horse than the thoroughbred. But you have to be much more judicious in your training. When my father was in the business, and others, say in the 50s, 60s, 70s, they would often warm up a horse before a race, mm-hmm, 3 and 4 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas now they might go out and do 1 light mile before a race, and then they go out. So they really have changed quite a bit over the years. And correspondingly, the times now are, like I said, 2:05. Well, now it's 1:50 or less to have a really
1:50
or less.
Yeah, that's 15 seconds you're talking about.
Exactly. And
yeah, that's a big drop. Even the track wouldn't account for that.
Yeah, exactly. In the last 50, 60 years, it has been like that. Mm-hmm. And who knows where it's going to bottom, mm-hmm, you know, because it keeps on getting faster and faster.
And y'all can breed artificially.
We sure can. Unlike my thoroughbred brethren, mm-hmm, in fact, all of my mares are bred artificially. We ship in the semen from Canada, mm-hmm, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Ohio, and we get one day delivery. And Crystal, my friend who told the story on me apparently about the Jeep, and at a Brady camp, they do the breeding, and we've been successful. They really help get our mares in fold.
Uh-huh.
And so,
now, this basically, although there are other centers, you know, like in New York and Florida, Ocala and everything, mm-hmm, but Lexington is, or central Kentucky, you know, is basically the the center when you get right down to it.
Sure.
Is there one for standard breeds now?
There isn't. I would say this, and this is true regardless of breed. The reason that we moved back to Kentucky for the second time is because of the soil. If it weren't for the soil here, you wouldn't have horses here. Mm-hmm. It's really highly dependent upon the quality of the soil. There's only one other place in the world that has soils comparable to the quality here in Lexington in the surrounding area, and that's in Ireland, which has very good soil. There is a small place in Maryland, well, actually where Northern Dancer used to stand, which also has very, very good soils. I lived only a couple of miles, actually, from Northern Dancer.
Is that right?
When he was standing for E.P. Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I have a semi-thoroughbred connection.
Bourbon County land is awfully good.
It is. Yeah. It really is. And each one of our fields has some undulation, which is really good, as you know, for growing out babies.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, well, it's... I don't know about this artificial stuff, though. I mean, it's
well,
I'm afraid
there's nothing wrong with AI. I do it with my quarter horses.
Well, you know, it would seem like that one stud horse or one breed would kind of dominate. Then, you know, I mean, one if you give one.
Now, there's a limitation on the number that they can breed. It's 100, and in standardbreds, it's 140 max. And so that kind of limits what they can do, and the pool gets spread out as a result.
Okay. Well, that's better.
Yeah, because, it is.
Because everybody would want to breed a man of war, you know. I mean,
right, but it's easier on the broodmare farms when we AI, because now we don't have to, you know how we get all, you know, you get people shipping their mares to Kentucky for breeding. Well, we don't have to ship our mares anywhere. They ship the semen to us, and our mare gets to stay home, doesn't have to travel, and it's done right there.
The only state that is an outlier in all this is New York. New York insists that you have your mares up there to be bred. And as a result, I won't breed in New York unless I have a maiden mare, or for some reason a mare misses 1 year. But they, once again, they insist that you go up there, and just like thoroughbreds, you have to travel. The foal has to travel with them. And how many times does a foal come back injured?
Yeah, sick.
Sick. And so I really do prefer the AI.
Well, is the conception rate higher from AI?
It's about the same.
Right. About the same?
About the same. I can say my percentages are higher. But that's largely due to, you know, our techniques and at a Brady camp. And reluctantly, I'll say Crystal.
I got to interrupt you here a second. Again. Before you book your late season mare, talk with the folks over at Spendthrift Farm. It's not too late to participate in Spendthrift's popular and successful breed secure program. The number is 859-294-0030. Ask for Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker and learn how the Breed Secure Program can benefit you. Keep in mind the first crop success of the young Spendthrift sires Into Mischief, Line of David, Temple City, Warriors Reward, all sired stakes winners in their first crops to race. Then consider that the first foals by RRR to 2 year-olds and that his first to face the starting gate won big. And we do mean big. His 2 year-old filly, Tia Floor, took on colts in a maiden special at Keeneland and won by over 9 lengths. Not only that, but he's at 2 year-old sale this year for $250,000, $120,000, $110,000, $90,000. Archar Charge has a license to sire runners. He won grade one stakes, earned over $832,000, and he's the only son of Arch at stud to win stakes at both 2 and 3. So call Spendthrift Farm. Number over there is 859-294-0030. See the website at Spendthrift Farm. .com. Lubricin and Reborn, two products that I happen to believe in, both of them developed by Dr. Steve Alday. They make Lubricin for people, too, so I use it, and got me through another birthday. those two products are endorsed by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians, and both, incidentally, all natural. And they're both test-free. Don't have to worry about the spit box. Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid. Helps reduce, acid injections and things like that. Trainers that use it on a regular basis include Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker. That's just to mention a few of them. They also make it, as I said, for humans. And it tastes pretty good, as a matter of fact. They must have do something with it. Although the horses never complained either. But now, Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. Starting with foals, what it does is strengthens the foal's immune system while nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. And it supports immune functions in horses of all ages, and thus provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. A lot of good horses use this stuff, Palace Malice, Golden Sense, Wise Dan, great products. Here's how you learn more about them. Go to lubricin.com, lubricin.com, or reborn.com, reborne.com. You can buy them both at KBC in Lexington or at Horse Sense over in Versailles. And you can get the stuff for humans at Old Friends, unless Michael Blowen has consumed it all by now.
If it's bourbon flavored, then yeah.
Yeah. But Memorial Day at Gulfstream Morning Calm, a four-year Copa Broken Vow, won the Raymond Earl Stakes. That same day outside Nashville, another runner by Broken Vow finished a game second in the Grade 3 All-American Stakes at Golden Gate. The Raymond Earl was a second straight win for Morning Calm, both of them at Gulfstream. She was bred by Gallagher Stud, and she's earned over $167,000. Outside Nashville, bred by Sienna Stud, has earned more than $230,000. He's won two stakes and placed in graded stakes for trainer Jerry Hollendorfer. Broken Vow, the leading son of Unbridled Stud in this country, stands at Pin Oak Stud. Also at Pin Oak are Alternation and Cowboy Cal. Alternation is a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by Distorted Humor. Descends from the same female family as Broken Vow. His first foals are here, and a whole lot of breeders are returning for more of the same. They like what they see. Cowboy Cal is also a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire, and he's by Giants Causeway. He's a sire of 6 stakes horses, 3 stakes winners, including a grade 2 winner in his first crop. For more on the Pin Oak stands, call Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website pinoakstud.com. All right, I'm talking to Ron Mirsky here, trying to learn something about the show Standard Breeds. Do you breed to race or to sell?
Both.
Whichever comes first?
Primarily selling, although I will admit I really dislike selling at sales.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer to sell privately if I can. But when you get 13, 14 foals, then it becomes difficult to do on a private basis. But I'll be selling a few privately this year, and then I'll be selling at Basic Tipton.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Over on Newtown,
yes,
Pike. Okay.
Exactly.
I didn't know they had a standard bred sale. See, I didn't even know that they had a standard bred sale.
It's never too late to get into the game.
You were about to.
It took me 8 decades to get out of the damn game.
It's actually, if you think about standard breds versus thoroughbreds, now, thoroughbreds, obviously, you have a lot of higher prices when at the sales.
Yeah.
When you had the Robert Sangsters of the world going, you really had some unbelievable prices.
Well, we've got those got now.
We've
got the Arabs and the Irish.
Yeah, exactly. But with standardbreds, the prices, generally speaking, are lower. But in terms of the opportunity for return on investment, I would posit that standardbreds, you have more of an opportunity.
Sounds like a sales pitch to me.
Yeah, and I'll share with you, if you don't mind, I'll share with you why. Remember we talked briefly about Citation in 1948.
I remember him. Bred a mare to him.
Right?
Yeah.
Citation. One of the things that maybe people don't know is that not only did Citation win the Triple Crown, but he won a fourth stake.
A fourth?
In that 5-week period.
Oh. What, the Withers?
I don't remember the name of the stake, but he actually raced four times.
Well, he raced between the Preakness and the Belmont.
And exactly.
I think it was the Withers.
Well, now, that would be absolute lunacy in the thoroughbred world, because now, if you have a really good horse as a thoroughbred, what do you get, 6-7 starts a year?
Yeah.
In that range?
They spot them around pretty good. I don't know if that would be average or not, but I think the average. Well, you're talking about the upper level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 7, 8, 10 maybe. 10s will be a whole lot for one.
Yeah, whereas in standardbreds, you get 25 to 30 starts.
Oh, okay.
A year for still a really good horse. Correspondingly, how much does the thoroughbred trainer charge per day? It's a lot.
I train my own.
Okay.
I couldn't afford a trainer.
Okay.
but I probably should have paid somebody, but I didn't.
But let's put it in the range, many of them, maybe $100 a day.
Yeah. The upper echelons, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right? Standardbred trainer would be 50, 55.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at, for example, the stud fees. You want a top horse out of a top stallion? Would $60,000, $100,000 be unreasonable in thoroughbreds?
No, there's quite a few standing for that.
In standardbreds for a top horse, it's maybe 10 or 15.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. So in terms of the economics of it, like I said, the standardbreds, you have, I believe, a better opportunity. Now, are the purses as higher on the top end? Not really, but there are how many thoroughbreds have won $5 million?
Oh, not very many.
Not very many.
Okay.
But there are some standardbreds who have won $5 million also.
Okay. Yeah. Race 20 years.
The last age in which they may race is 14.
Okay.
Okay. Which means they are a hardier horse also. In fact,
yeah.
A lot of times at the end of the year, some of these tracks will have the, you know, Auld Lang Syne pace or whatever for the 14-year-olds.
Okay.
Yeah. Leaving.
Well, what's your top purse in standardbred? Like we have in thoroughbreds, we have the Derby. And that and quarter horse.
Well, the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, the Breeders' Cup.
$5 million.
Yeah,
five. Now we don't have a $5 million, but we do have $1 million races.
Okay.
There are $2 million races, for example, for 3-year-olds. One is up in Canada, and the other is at the Meadowlands. The Meadowlands pace. And
where are they race in Canada? Woodbine.
They race at Woodbine and Mohawk primarily.
Mohawk.
They are both 7/8 mile tracks. And then, of course, they have other...
Woodbine is a 7/8 mile track?
Mm-hmm. But they have, for thoroughbreds, also Woodbine, which is a mile track.
Oh, they have two separate tracks. Okay.
Two separate tracks.
Yeah. Actually, they got a grass track on the outside of the turf track.
Exactly.
I mean, out of the dirt track.
Yeah. And so I have a 2-year-old that we have some hopes for. In fact, he trained really well yesterday. And
where is he?
He's in New Jersey with a fellow named Sam DePinto.
Okay.
And he trained in 159 yesterday. And I sold 3/4 of him last year at Fasig Tipton. And then I kept a quarter. Sam asked me to keep a quarter, and I kept a quarter of him. And so we're hoping to go up to Canada. And... if he is good enough, and I think he may be, in about 6 or 7 weeks, he'll be racing for $600,000 up there in a stake.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No, it's not. Now, I can also tell you the ones who never make it to the races, so, right?
Yeah, that's another thing. About, how many do they make it to? What's the percentage of foals per year? How many standardbred foals are there a year?
There used to be, in 2001, there were over 15,000.
Okay.
In 2014, it dipped below 10,000. Hmm. It's a corresponding dip, just like in the thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
So there's less than 10,000, and it's not projected, quite frankly, to any
to increase.
No, it really isn't.
Hmm.
So you divide that in between trotters and pacers, two different gates of the standardbred. And so you say you have 5,000 each, and then you divide it into colts and fillies, so you have 2,500 each. And it gives you somewhat of an opportunity to maybe hit a home run.
Yeah. How many tracks would be running at the same time? I should say trotting at the same time.
Or pacing.
Oh, pacing.
Pacing and trotters.
Okay. It gets confusing.
And at some point, maybe we'll get into the gate.
We had somebody out here one time that had a pony that paced.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, I could never get used to it. He'd go by me and I'd say, what is this? You know. Yeah, I know what they do.
Track.
Yeah.
Yeah. It depends on the time of year. But right now, there is approximately 10 standardbred tracks racing, maybe 12.
Nationwide.
Nationwide. And then,
of course, how many East Coast, you know, you wouldn't be concerned with California or anything?
No, there's, you know, for example, in New Jersey, there is the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, there are three tracks racing right now. In Ohio, there's a couple.
Okay.
In Indiana, there's one.
Well, there's plenty of opportunities.
In New York, there is five right now, actually, racing.
Well, there's plenty of opportunities for not that many foals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There really are. And then, of course, up in Canada, there's four or five tracks going right now.
Yeah. I got to catch up here. Okay. The first foals report of entry are, as expected, superb. Breeders have taken a good look and are coming back for more. Port of Entry won 5 Grade 1 stakes. He's the most accomplished among the some 150 stakes winners by Dynaformer, and he descends from one of the most prolific female families in the books, a family that's produced a long list of champions and Grade 1 stakes winners. Runners such as the classic winner Pine Allen, that's that filly is Port of Entry's half-sister, Breeders' Cup Distaff winner Pleasant Home, champion and classic winner Sky Beauty, classic winner Maple Jinsky, Grade 1 winner, Tale of Akati. Sire of this year's runner-up in the Classic Preakness Stakes in his first crop. Champion sprinter, Gold Beauty. Dam of a Horse of the Year. The list just goes on and on. It's late in the season, but go take a look at Point of Entry and some of his foals. Then call Cormac Breathnock or Jack Brothers at Adena Springs, 859-987-1798, and check the website at adenastallions.com.
Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington, LM Communications Broadcasting Station, LM Communications, 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year.
Well, it is Stan, from 66 foals in his first three crops, aside such runners as Istan Ford, winner of Group 2 Stakes at Del Mar, Stakes at Arlington, with seconds in Stakes at Churchill, Tampa Bay, and the Fairgrounds. She's earned more than $408,000. Al Bono, winner of graded stakes at Monmouth Park, plus two more stakes, placed in six others, four graded, one grade one. He has earned over $688,000. Mr. Bowling, winner of 5 stakes, including Group 3 stakes, and placed in 3 other stakes, among them the Group 3 Iroquois at Churchill. He's earned some $400,000. Turkish has won the Grade 3 Valedictory Stakes up at Woodbine and almost $250,000. Antigun is placed in 5 stakes, 4 graded stakes, including the classic Grade 1 Belmont. He's earned over $500,000. Myositis Dam, placed in graded stakes at Churchill Downs, Young and Lovely in stakes at Fairgrounds, Northern Iowa in the Pomona Derby. Is Stan, small crops, big success, is a multiple graded stakes winner by Gone West. Stands for $7,500 live foal to Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profits. It's late, but that's all right.
You're on vet time.
Vet time or blacksmith?
Vet time or blacksmith.
No, actually, my blacksmith is pretty good. I've got an Irish blacksmith.
And so is mine.
Yeah, good. Who you use? You know, that's something else. I have found that farriers for standardbreds are, by and large, better than those for thoroughbreds, although I'm really tickled to death with one guy I've used. But,
Shoeing a standardbred is more complex, generally speaking, than a thoroughbred. Thoroughbred, I believe, you basically have one type of shoe.
Well, there's more than one, especially when they get into competition and everything. But Yeah, go ahead.
Flat plate racing shoe.
Yeah.
Whereas standardbreds, there are many, many varieties of shoes.
Yeah.
And training a standardbred is more complex also. More equipment, the variety of shoes, it's much more of an art to find the right combination of things mm-hmm. that may make the horse reach its optimum performance.
Well, a lot of people would argue with you about that, you know, about getting a horse to peak at just the right time for a certain race. There's an art to that.
There is. You put him in.
He sounds doubtful, doesn't he? Yeah.
But he's bringing more cost on these standardbreds. Specialized shoes. You have to choose from 100 different shoes, mm-hmm. which all of a sudden it's more money you go dump into this standardbred.
There you go.
Now, what you have basically in thoroughbreds, and this is something is a mystery to me. If you'd explain it to me, a thoroughbred spends 23.5 hours in a stall. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking. And then for a half hour, it will either go jog or do a light workout or perhaps breeze. But then goes back in the stall for another 23.5 hours. How is an athlete supposed to really be in peak condition when it is in effect resting for 23.5 hours? Explain that to me.
Well, they don't.
They're good athletes.
How can you say it? It's not a natural thing, that's for sure.
It isn't.
So don't you all keep them in the stalls? No, you're out there longer, though.
Yeah, we're out there longer, but also we tend to turn them out in paddocks.
Yeah.
And
well, you can do that here.
And I think that's really beneficial.
Yeah.
But hot housing a horse for 23.5 hours really runs counter to what your achievement mm-hmm. should be. That's just an observation. But I've always loved thoroughbreds also, and I grew up following them to some extent. But I've always been intrigued by the differences in the training methods. And I realize the thoroughbred is a more, shall I say, brittle horse. Mm-hmm. But I think they almost tend to encourage that by not really building the horses up.
You just don't have much choice. If you're shipping around, you're at Churchill now, you're going to New York, and you know, you
sure.
Very few places where, there are a couple of trainers around that have their own training facilities that ship out, you know, Grand Motion has one and people like that, you know.
Okay.
But they can train and turn out and so forth, but most, thoroughbred trainer really doesn't have a whole lot of options like that.
And I know there's probably an innate fear of the horse maybe hurting themselves in the paddock. And so there's a cost-benefit type of, you know.
Yeah. I used to keep a paddock here, and I had one horse that I couldn't turn out. Every time I turned him out, he would get to ripping and roaring and pulling a shoe. And, you know, I mean.
Sure. Yeah.
But others I turned out. I tried to. And I had a barn over here for many years, and with a paddock, I would turn him out. At least give him an hour out or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
But I always tried to keep him on the track longer, too.
I think it's really is beneficial if you're going to have a complete athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have to have a rider that you put on a salary or pay him more because, most of these guys are freelance, you know. And
all those thoroughbred costs again.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We used to have an old horse that trained here that won, he won $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come over here and stand. Scooter Hughes had him, and he wouldn't go. He would stand out here for maybe a half an hour. And finally, they try, you know, and the rider says, "This horse is a freelancer's nightmare." You know, he's. But when he was ready to go, he'd go, and then he'd gallop good. You know, no problems and everything. But he just wanted to stand and look.
He had his own mind. Yeah.
John Henry used to do the same thing. Took him a half an hour to get to the racetrack. You know.
Speaking of John Henry and my favorite thoroughbred of all time. Before John Henry, of course, gelding and raced many years. Before John Henry, there was Kelso.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Now, Kelso...
One of the all-time greats. One of the top five of all time.
He was such a magnificent horse. And he actually lived right across the street from Northern Dancer, where Northern Dancer stood. In that small pocket, like I said, of Mrs. Richard C. DuPont.
Okay.
He had his own mailbox, et cetera. Now, he really did. And he got a lot of fan mail. Now, this is in the 60s. But the thing about Kelso, he raced from 6 furlongs, as you know, to 2 miles.
Yeah.
And unlike today, they had a lot of handicap racing back then.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many times, he carried well over 130 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
On his back from 6 furlongs to 2 miles, racing against the best. He didn't always win. Mm-hmm. But he always gave a good account of himself. Now, can you imagine a thoroughbred now being asked to carry, say, 134?
No, that's a funny that you brought that up, because I'm going to read something as soon as I can get rid of you.
Anytime. Throw me out with a dishwater.
I'm going to read something from American Racehorses of 1945. It was written about a horse named Devil Diver who won the Metropolitan Mile mm-hmm. 3 years in a row. And he talks about handicap racing at that time, you know, and, you know, the difference between classics, handicaps, and so forth, written by Joe Palmer. And it's fascinating, and I'm going to read that a little bit later on in the show.
And I realize my time is nigh, apparently.
Wait a minute. I want to ask something for you.
Okay.
Yeah, stay, boo-boo. The reason... that just from what I've seen, that standard breds have to have really, really, really terrific feet. They have to be shod. They have to be straight. They have to go front and back. Now, sometimes I've seen them where they wing out really bad behind, but they don't kick themselves. You can get away with bad feet at a trot if you don't go so fast. Thoroughbreds gallop. They fly. But you can't fly with crooked action and trotter pace because you'll cut yourself to ribbons. And that's always been, I thought, the reason they have to have such good farriers to keep that action at speed. You can forgive a lot when a horse gallops. They can gallop as crooked as anything, and you see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see them just about hit themselves. But as long as they don't have to trot fast, a lot of times they can get away with it. I heard y'all talking about that. That's why I thought I'd throw my stinking 2 cents worth.
Well, you know, a lot of it is now, as I said before, the standard bred is an evolving breed and getting a lot faster. As a result, part of it is what you're speaking of. The stride has become much more efficient over the years. Trotters are much more naturally bred to actually trot. Pacers, and the same thing. They pace. I see that my babies in the field, and they're pacing.
Mm-hmm.
They're bred into them. And in terms of the winging in the back, that's an inefficient type of stride.
Sure it is.
And I wouldn't keep that one very long.
Right.
Well, listen, there have been some really great racehorses, a horse of champion sprinter a few years back named Decathlon, and he looked like a windmill. I mean, he was awful.
Yeah,
he's
galloping.
But boy, he was fast.
Yeah.
He was a champion sprinter for 3 years, you know. He was by Olympia, and who was a champion sprinter also.
Also, you can take standardbreds going at a trot and a pace, and you can train them at it longer. You can go out there and go around 6 times. You have to really build up a thoroughbred to go out here and gallop around 6 times. I know, though, now some trainers I know will jog a horse 3 or 4 miles to get the background on. And we always went three miles on the farm before we brought him in to get the background instead of bringing him in a stall and galloping him once around and then breezing him. That's kind of going the way of, I think people do it differently now. somewhat. It pays. And I'll tell you another thing that's important. In the old days with the handicaps and all that kind of stuff, they used to turn them out in the winter.
Yeah.
That covers a winter whole racing. Multitude of sins. Yeah. They come back in the spring. Whoops, they're healed.
Yeah, no.
That's a big deal.
That was true. Yeah, it's a big difference.
Well, now they go to Florida or something or race in the winter.
Meanwhile. Back to Claiborne Farm here. Horse Greeley is never missed. He decided graded stakes winners in every crop to race a full season. Now, that's a point to consider, especially for you breeders who want to race. He also does very well at the sales. His two-year-old sold for an average of $107,000 last year, which is pretty darn good, considering that his stud fee is just $2,500 doing the full stands and nurses. Getting back to his graded stakes winners, clearly now has won 3 graded stakes, 2 at Belmont, 1 at Gulfstream, placed in 9 more, 6 graded, including the grade 1 Carter, set a new track record going 7-8 and 119-4. That was at Belmont. He's earned over $900,000. Really, Mr. Greeley won graded stakes at Hollywood Park. Leave the Light Ons won the grade 2 Remsen as a 2-year-old just last year. And while he has yet to win a graded stakes, Gold Greeley was a champion 2-year-old colt of his year in Canada. He's earned over $400,000. Now, that's a lot of run for the stud fee. So if you've got a late foaling mare, call Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm, 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibornefarm.com. LexHorseFarms.com. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. I saw Hill out here just a few minutes ago.
Training.
At the lower track down there. Won a race the other day, again. But actually, he and Reagan are in the real estate business. And said, but you know Hill?
I just see their signs a lot while I'm traveling around.
Yeah, they do a great job. Nice people. And he's a grade level A pony clubber, which, you know, is where a lot of our Olympic riders come from. So he can really ride, too. So he's a horseman and real horse people. And, you know, he's got farms all over central Kentucky, like Ron was just saying. Fayette, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. And if you were looking for a farm, Eden Pine just to find just the perfect farm just for you. If you're selling your farm, they work real hard to get the job done. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. And I'm going to give you their website. It's LexHorseFarms.com. And I would suggest that you give them a call, 859-608-8039. They got a place right up here. I know they'd sell you for about $16 million. And it lets me out. It's about 5 too many zeros, maybe 6. You know. But anyway, they're great people, so I would suggest that you go to that website, LexHorseFarms.com. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. Well, going back to the second running of the Bluegrass Stakes, that would be Bull Lee in 1938. There have been many winners that went on to become top sires. General Quarters won the Grade 1 Bluegrass. He won his in 2009, and he went on to accumulate earnings over $1,226,000. He won a place in 10 stakes, 7 graded, among them the Grade 1 Woodford Reserve Turf Classic. In fact, he won Grade 1 stakes on the turf, and he won artificial, and he placed in Grade 1 stakes on dirt. He was just about as versatile as it come, winning at distances from 4.5 furlongs on the dirt the day he broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Churchill to a mile and an eighth while competing at 7 different tracks in 5 states. And here's a fact that you won't find in many young sire prospects these days. He's sound. General Quarters is by Pulpit's successful son, Sky Macer. He's out of the multiple graded stakes producer Ecology by Unbridled Song from a family loaded with black type. Stands for $5,000 doing a full stands of nurses at the Polk McLean's Crestwood Farm. Call the farm at 859-252-3770. It's late in the season, so incentives may be available. And see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Doc, we better get you on over here. Ron, I'm going to let you go. My friend, thank you for coming in.
I really appreciate the opportunity to come and jaw with you.
You damn near got me into the standard bred business, so I bet you better let you go before you sell me a horse.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And that would take some doing.
Come out to the farm, and we'll give it a shot. Thank you all very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, it was fun having you on. We'll have to get together again. Meet you over at Rooster Brewery.
Call me.
All right. All right. I've got Dr. Brian Walridge with me today. You were late getting in here. You came in here all sweaty. Everything. Well, you look like you might have been working or something. Looked like you cooled out a little bit, though.
I was assistant trainer, groom, and hot walker today. So
looks like somebody turned the hose on you when you came over here. Well, what's going on, my friend? How's your filly doing?
She's doing really well. Came out of a race all right. So that was a tough race. I don't know if you looked at it that she was in. It was
no.
She ran against AP Indy baby. Let's see who else was in there. I think a Tappet, Blame.
You're kidding.
Claiborne, Judmont, Calumet, Bill Mott. So I said her running that race is probably like me being invited to high tea with Queen, with the difference in those right. two. So she did all right.
Well, that's good. Well, you just have to look for lesser company somewhere.
That's what we're going to do. Maybe Tim may have a race week from today, so
okay.
We'll see what she can do again. She's doing well, though. She came back ready to go, I think. Jamie said she's looking good.
Good. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And Jamie would know.
That's right. So I trust Jamie and Tim. Whatever they tell me, I do. I'm just the groom. So I do whatever they say.
You just pay the bills.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, what's going on? What's your vet?
Well, I thought we'd talk about herpes virus because, state vet sent something around to veterinarians that is starting to pick up a little bit more, the neurologic herpes. And I learned a few things from what Rusty Ford had sent around that even the United States Equestrian Federation is going to start requiring herpes vaccinations.
Is that right?
In December. I think it said December 1st. For most of the tracks in Kentucky, it is required racehorses to get regular vaccinations. So, it's one of those things that the horse that brings the herpes in usually shows no signs. And, mm-hmm. Until you see these other horses start showing neurologic disease or fever, more commonly it's going to be a respiratory infection that you see with herpes, but you can see that where they get down in their hind end and tail paralysis, can't urinate or can't pass manure.
You say you've run across it this spring?
I haven't seen any yet, but it was always, you were going to see cases every year.
Yeah.
And so it was something you'd commonly see in the hospital for sure. It's one of those things, it's like you could never predict how the horse was going to respond, or where it would be.
Likely on a racetrack, though, wouldn't it be?
Well, there's been some racetracks, but some more show horses. The big one, a year or two ago, was cutting horses, I think, in Utah. They had a big cutting horse show, and the thing was, nobody showed signs until all the horses had kind of gone back home, and then by then it was in several states. So it's one of those things you can just do.
That's those cowboys bringing that in.
do the
quarter horse people.
What's wrong with us? Uh-oh. Doc, what are you saying?
No, I didn't say it. Ursula said it. So, the vaccination helps, but there's no vaccine that's labeled for neurologic herpes virus. There are some that we use more in mares to prevent abortion in mares that seem to work better than others. Talk to your vet about that, but those have what's called a higher antigenic mass, so there's more virus particles in there and give you a little bit better immune response. So that's the one I recommend people to use. There's two vaccines you can use, so those are the ones I'd
When's the last time you saw some around here, just what you were talking about?
Well, when I was working in the hospital, so we'd see it. I haven't seen any since then because a lot of times they're down if that's when I would see them, so they'd be in the hospital so we could put them in a sling and lift them and all that sort of thing, because they're pretty intensive nursing care cases.
Yeah.
Hmm. Sometimes you got to put a catheter in them to keep their bladder decompressed, because if you...
How you treat it?
Well, you can use their antivirals that they're used in humans. One of them, and of course it's the cheaper one, isn't absorbed very well in horses, but you can give that IV. Then there's a new one, a newer kind of generation of that drug that you can use called valacyclovir, which is pretty expensive. That's a bad thing. There's no generic of that valacyclovir, but it is absorbed pretty good orally in horses. So do that, and anti-inflammatories like good old DMSO and steroids just to help bring down the inflammation in their spinal cord. So you got to watch their bladder, because if the bladder's stretched for more than 3 weeks, it loses, there's muscle in the wall of the bladder and it loses its ability to contract well. So those horses will sometimes dribble urine if they recover. So you want to make sure you keep their bladder nice and small so they can pass urine once they recover.
How do you keep the bladder small?
Well, put a catheter in them. just pass the catheter. You know, a lot easier to do in a mare than a gelding or a stallion.
Imagine just
easier anatomy, but just keeping them decompressed with a urinary catheter.
Yeah.
Huh. So they're a lot of work, but you know, there's a chance if you can get them where they don't get down and stay down. You always have a chance with them.
Oh, you won't be here next week? Matt Howard will not be here next week. He's going to California.
Watch my quarter horses run.
Watch his quarter horses run.
If his niece is great.
I don't think your mic's on, Jackie.
Nothing.
Yeah, go. Go ahead.
I said he'll go to his niece's graduation, provided the quarter horses aren't running at that time.
Oh, okay.
Bye.
See you, man. Have a good trip. Good guy. Hmm. Oh, I shouldn't have said that on the air. Somebody might tell him. All right, Doc.
Well,
I appreciate you coming by.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's okay.
I have a question.
She's always got a question. Do you know that?
Is that your red truck down there?
It is.
You know what he's got on the dashboard?
What?
He's got a little tiny hula dancer. A little tiny hula dancer.
Hula dancer?
Yeah, explain that. She wiggles.
I just thought it was cool. I'll have to get you one today. That's a dollar store purchase. So
a little hula dancer. I'm not kidding.
What are you doing with
people
a hula dancer
on
your
Jesus statue?
It just moves. It keeps me distracted when I drive.
It's not a Jesus statue, and it's not one of those things that keeps the smell down. It's a hula dancer.
Oh my goodness!
Well, you can't find a dancing Jesus statue anywhere.
No, that's
anywhere
true.
You look. I'll have to get you one today. Right. I'll get you and Ursula one each. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's today's Ursula's birthday. Give me.
Oh, there we go. Now I know what to get her.
Yeah. And the hula dancer.
It's all I need is a hula.
Yeah, it's real low. It's about 3 inches tall, and I walked by and I thought, "There's a bug in his truck." And it's a hula dancer. Son of a gun.
I thought you were going to give me another pop quiz. All right.
I'll work on that next week.
All right.
See you next week.
Thank you. Well, in 2015, Iris Jasper has won the Grade 3 Edina Springs Miss Preakness Stakes. Fame and Power has won the $100,000 Sir Barton Stakes at Pimlico, placed in the Grade 3 Coomore Lexington Stakes at Keeneland. Tamberlane has won the Tetruck Stakes at the Curragh after running second in two group stakes as a two-year-old, one in Great Britain, the other in Ireland. Abseil is group placed in stakes this year in Great Britain. So is Dance Track. All three-year-olds, all by First Defense. In addition, Dun Donnell has won the Group 2 Sprint Cup in Hong Kong. He's also won stakes in Great Britain to become the second millionaire from the first crop of First Defense. First Defense, Sovereign Eclipse Award winner and of two millionaires in his first crop, stands at Judmont Farm for $10,000 live foal. Already a proven sire of superior stakes winners, First Defense has a great upside. His best crops of foals have yet to reach the races. Call Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. Ask him about what's going on the way for First Defense. And, boy, he's got great two-year-olds coming up. The number is 859-272-7629. And see the website at judmont.com. Well, horses raised on Macaulay products. Is that what I'm supposed to be doing now?
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Mike. Horses raised on products from Macaulay Brothers have won five more stakes over the holiday weekend, including the Grade 3 $200,000 Lone Star Handicap, and that would be Majestic City, bred by Trackside Farm, Robert Evans and Helen Evans, and raised at Trackside. In other stakes, the Alachua at Gulfstream went to Sweet Basil, bred by Lackland Farm. The Ed Skinner Memorial at Prairie Meadows was won by Bobcat Jim, bred by Windstar Farm. The winner of the Western Canada Stakes, Blue Dancer, was bred by Keen Ridge Farm. Z Smoking Good, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm, and raised at Brandywine, won the inaugural stakes to bring the count to 74 stakes won by horses raised on Macaulay products already this year. 39 were graded stakes, 9 grade 1. The most important stage in raising a runner is the formative years of development on the farm. With that in mind, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Talk to them about the Macaulay products and the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. See the website at MacaulayBros.com. And you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Well, the Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form is on the newsstands. Pick it up while you can get your Saturday edition at the same time. And they got some interesting articles in the Sunday edition this year, this week. Nicole Russo writes on the making of American Pharoah, going into his pedigree, his handling, and so forth. And John Sparkman's got writes about Pulpit and his Sunset Stud. Jay Hoveday, of course, has got a column in there, and Jay is one of the best writers in the business. Then you've got past performances from Churchill Downs and Belmont and Belterra and Arlington, Woodbine, Monmouth Park, Canterbury, Gulfstream Park. It's a great edition of the Daily Racing Form. And the breeding update, you need to get that. The way to do it is visit drf.com/breeding update and sign up for it, and they send it to you every day. drf.com/breeding update. And they've got article in-depth breeding news and sales and auction coverage and a whole lot more. It's a great addition. And, of course, the Daily Racing Form, that is America's Bible. All right, let me give you the winners of stakes, Kentucky Bred winners of stakes from last week. The Grade 3 Lone Star Handicap at Lone Star, wherever else, was won by Majestic City. Majestic City, bred by Robert Evans and Helen Evans. He's by City Zip. The Alachua Stakes at Gulfstream Park winner, Sweet Basil. That's a Pulpit, a four-year-old filly, bred by Lackland Farm. The $75,000 Ed Skinner Memorial Prairie Manor's winner, Bobcat Jim, that's a Sharp Humor, bred by Windstar Farm. The Western Canada Handicap at Northlands went to Blue Dancer. He's by Bluegrass Cat, and he was bred by Keen Ridge Racing. The inaugural stakes out west went to Z Smoking Gun. He's by Zensational. It's a three-year-old. I think that's his first crop. Bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywin Farm. A Lot won the Paradise Creek Stakes at Belmont Park. He's by Tappet, bred by Liberty Road Stables. The Majestic Light Stakes at Monmouth Park winner, Red Vine. He's by Candy Ride, bred by Alistar Thoroughbreds. The My Juliet Stakes, boy, she was a fast filly, My Juliet. She could fly. Donita's Ruler, by Roman Ruler, won that, bred by Kildare Stud and L. Schmidt. Trying to think who she was by. I think she was by a horse named Gallant Romeo. In fact, she was by Gallant Romeo. Sky Treasure, by one of the Nassau Stakes. He's a Woodbine at Woodbine. He's by Sky Mesa, bred by Ed Seltzer. The Celine Stakes at Woodbine, another Sky Mesa, Old Fashioned Gal, bred by John Oxley. The Auburn Stakes, that's AUBURN Stakes. Fooled Again won that. Fooled Again by Scat Daddy, bred by Oak Crest Farm. The First Lady Handicap at Ruidoso was Brighttown won that. He's a five-year-old. She's a five-year-old mare by Sprightstown, bred by Locklow Farm. Monday at Prairie Meadows, the Jim Rasmussen Memorial went to Jessica Starr by Magna Graduate, bred by Elizabeth Alexander. Also on Monday, the Winning Color Stakes, Street Story won that by Street Cry, bred by John Oxley. And let's see, the Lawades Stud Stakes, a Group 2 over in Ireland, went to Brooch by Empire Maker, bred by Judmont Farms. And yesterday at Gulfstream Park, the Amelia Island Handicap winner, Street of Gold by Street Sense, was bred by the Alpha Delta Stables. Those are Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from last week through Friday, and that brought to you by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. That's, of course, at the horse park. And let's see, let me catch up with my commercials here, and then we're going to try something else. May 14 at Churchill Downs, Fleet Encounter, mare by Enidab, spent 5 furlongs on the grass and 57 flat to take an allowance optional claimer. Didn't run for the tag. That was her 13th win. She's earned over $204,000. She's one of 15 individuals by Enidab that's earned over $100,000 or more. Among those, the multiple graded stakes winner, he also said new track record at Churchill, Greater Good, he won over $546,000. Then there's Head Hard Hoof. He won graded stakes in New York.
where he also set a new track record going 5.5 furlongs. He's earned more than $500,000. Dab Nabbit, a multiple stakes winner at Monmouth Park, has earned over $282,000. Lauren Ted Ice, a multiple stakes winner in New York, won over $236,000, and there are more, but you get the picture. Interdab is signing runners for the modest fee of $2,000 live foal. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Give stallion manager Ken Barnes a call, 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarms.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then BirthNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at birthnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit birthnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Overanalyze covered 151 mares in its first season at stud last year. Readers like what they see: confirmation, racing class, and pedigree. And Overanalyze has a lot going for him. He was a superior two-year-old. He won two of the most prestigious stakes in New York for two-year-olds, the Grade II $200,000 Futurity and the Grade II $250,000 Remsen. Many winners of those two historic races have gone on to become top sires. The next year, he won the Grade I $1 million Arkansas Derby, besting, among others, Preakness winner Oxbow. And in two seasons, he accumulated earnings of more than $1 million. Overanalyze is by the very successful sire Dixie Union from the famed Northern Dancer sire line, and he's one of two Grade I winners out of Unicloud. His half-sister, Metabreeze, won the Grade I Matron. It's a hard-hitting stakes family. The two most successful young sons of Dixie Union at stud in Kentucky are Union Rags. He stands for $40,000, and Overanalyze, he stands for $10,000, doing the full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Sean Toole, or Kyle Wilson. Here's the number, 859-873-1717. Take a look at the website, windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, I was talking to Ron Mirsky, and he was talking about horses that used to carry weight and back in the old days and so forth. And I just happened to read something. I was browsing like I have a tendency to do, and I was looking at the American racehorses of 1945. Reading about a horse named Devil Diver, who was by St. Germans. Out of Dab Chick by Royal Minstrel. He was bred and owned by Green Tree Stable. J.M. Garver was a trainer. And I'm going to read this if my voice holds up. Give it a try anyway. Take a swig of Dr. Pepper here. That's enough to kill you, isn't it? So here we go. This was written by Joe Palmer for American Racehorses. To speak of classic handicaps is deliberately to produce a contradiction in terms, because a classic is designed to test for superiority at even terms, while a handicap is an intentional attempt to destroy superiority by weight. The ideal of the classic is for the best horse to win. The intent of a handicap is to see that he does not, or at least that he wins no more frequently than inferior horses. In American racing, the handicap, originally planned for second flight horses, has become the staple of racing for four-year-olds and up, and the stakes for old horses, at weight for age, without allowances, may be counted on the fingers of one hand, even if one has lost a finger or two. It must be confessed, though, that a handicap tells something that which a classic does not. The classic picks out the best horse. The handicap measures the margin of superiority, over his contemporaries. The classic winner can sweep the boards at 126 pounds. Can he do it at 128, at 130, at 132, at 134? Somewhere along the line, we find his limitation. We measure with some accuracy, in the old phrase, how good he is. You will realize that the trainer of the horse does not usually see eye to eye with the racing secretary in this matter. There was, to be sure, an historic instance when racing secretary Jack Campbell moved a horse from grade C down to grade D, only to have the trainer tell him, "You're underestimating that horse. You'll have to put him back in grade C as soon as he runs a time or two." Mr. Campbell ultimately recovered from this shock, which is saying much for him. In general, however, the phrase honored with the top impost has a somewhat hollow ring to the trainer of the horse involved. But although the classic race and the handicap are poles apart, there are a few handicaps which have come to be considered almost as classics by reason of the fact that year after year they are contested by the best horses in training, so that a victory in them is a perpetual badge of achievement. The standard of competition necessarily varies, but this is true in the classics also. Three of these semi-classics, sanctified by time and by high standards of performance, are the Toboggan, Metropolitan, and Suburban Handicaps. All of them now run at Belmont Park during the spring meeting. The Toboggan and Metropolitan had their inception in 1890 and 1891, respectively, at Old Morris Park, Belmont Park's predecessor. At Morris Park, also, there was a diagonal course called the Eclipse Course, cutting through the infield. And this was the scene of the Toboggan. Turf riders of the period referred derisively to the course as a toboggan slide because it was slightly downhill. And the management of the track, with a facetiousness now considered undignified, named the race the Toboggan Slide Handicap. It was run down the straightaway when it was transferred to Belmont Park, though, of course, this was not the present Widener course. With the exception of a few years in the 20s, and of the 1941 running, has always been run down a straight course. Such notable sprinters as Voter, Iron Mask, Osmond, Balco, Rosebend, Deliberator have been among its winners. The Metropolitan also was a heritage from Morris Park, and except for its earliest years, has always been at the present distance of 1 mile. Jack High holds the record, 135, for the stakes, and among its winners are Bannerstar, Irish Lad, Whiskbroom II, The Finn, Grey Lag, Equipoise, Snark, 830, and Sarazen. The Suburban was an institution in 1884 of Sheepshead Bay, which closed with the rest of New York racing after the 1910 season and never opened in its gates. Whiskbroom II won the first running at Belmont Park, this being the occasion of that rather dubious 2 minutes, which still stands as the official American record for a mile and a quarter. Belmont Park had two finishing posts at the time, one for races on the chute and one for those on the main track. You will, of course, remember that in 1913, Belmont ran its races clockwise instead of its in the present direction. And there were a good many persons who insisted that the timer stopped his watch on the wrong post. Legend has it that one trainer told him, "You're the only man on the grounds that thinks he ran it in two flat." And the timer answered sweetly, "And I'm the only one whose opinion matters a damn to the records." But at all events, Whiskbroom II was carrying 139 pounds, and he ran the distance in something closely approximating 2 minutes. Included on the list of other winners are Raceland, Ben Brush, Henry of Navarre, Beldame, Fitzherbert, Fry Rock, Crusader, Equipoise, 830, and Mad Hatter. Not yet has a horse succeeded in winning all three of these races in the same season, though many have tried. In the first place, to beat sprinters at their own game, milers at theirs, and finally to take on the stayers, demands the most unusual versatility. In the second, with all three races run at the same meeting, a trainer has the extremely difficult task of getting the horse razor sharp for a sprint, keeping him razor sharp for 3 weeks, and at the same time bringing him to a condition in which he can stay 10 furlongs. For this reason, the record of Green Tree Stables Devil Diver deserves special examination in relation to these three handicaps. Before him, the best record was that of George D. Widener's 830, which won the Toboggan and Suburban in 1940 and led into the stretch of the Metropolitan under 128 pounds, only to tire and finish fourth. In 1941, he won the Toboggan and the Metropolitan and was prevented by an injury to a suspensory ligament from running in the Suburban, which he seemed to have an excellent chance to win. Devil Diver won the Toboggan and Metropolitan in 1943, but he was bothered in the Suburban and ran fifth, and then won the mile and a quarter Brooklyn, this in itself constituting an unprecedented triple. In 1944, he won the Toboggan and Metropolitan again, and like 830, seemed to have a good chance at the Suburban. But that famous sore heel of his went wrong on the eve of the race, so that he also was denied his best chance at the triple. In 1945, he won the Pomona, which, like the Toboggan, is a 6 furlongs, but Apache made the most of a 6-pound weight advantage beating him in for the toboggan. Thereafter, Devil Diver won the Metropolitan and the Suburban. Joining 830 is the only horse to win all three races at any time in his career. Thus, in the three runnings of these three handicaps, there were nine separate events, of which Devil Diver ran an 8, won 6, and was second once. It is a record which can hardly be improved upon until this great triple is, in actuality, brought off. Then there is also the matter of weight. Devil Diver carried 134 pounds when he won the toboggan in 1944, and he had 135 when he was beaten in 1945. The previous year was 130 pounds, under which Bannerstar won in 2001, and which the great sprinter Iron Mask carried in 1913. Mad Hatter had tried under 135 in 1921, but he had finished third. Stromboli was beaten under 133 in 1917. And other highweights had finished out of the money. In 1944, the 1944 Metropolitan was won under 134 pounds in 135 and 4. Only two horses had run the race faster, Third Degree under 123 pounds and Jack High under 110. Greylag won the race in 1923 under 133 pounds and 830 won under 132 in 1941. No other horse had so much as been placed under 134. The 1945 Suburban found Devil Diver winning under 132 pounds. This was not a record, for Equipoise had won under the same weight, Greylag under 135, and Whisper in the Second under 139. It is, nonetheless, a very steadying burden over a mile and a quarter. So that was talking about Devil Diver. Devil Diver, in case you don't remember him, I remember him very well. He started 47 times, raced through his six-year-old season, won 22 races and over $261,000. He was, as I said, by St. Germans, who was the son of Swinford. St. Germans was a foal in 1921, led to Sireless in 1931. He had some fertility problems. He only sired in all those years 180 foals, of which 23 won stakes. That's about 14%, according to my old Russell Cave School math. He, in addition to Devil Diver, said Bold Venture. Sired Bold Venture was a horse of the year and champion three-year-old, won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. And in turn, Bold Venture sired Triple Crown winner Assault, who was absolutely sterile. And Kentucky Derby and Belmont Stakes winner Middle Ground. He ran second in the Preakness. Middle Ground was also had some fertility problems. St. Germans was also the sire of 20 Grand, who won the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont, ran second in the Preakness to Mate. And that was the year, one of the years that they ran the Preakness prior to the Derby. And 20 Grand was also sterile. He also sired the Rhymer, though, who was a pretty good kind of a stud horse, sired Vertex, who sired a Kentucky Derby winner, and Lucky Debonair. Devil Diver went to stud at Green Tree, and was a disappointment.
Really?
But he ended up over at the Stallion Station. Lou Doherty had him when he and Harold Jordan had the Stallion Station out on the Paris Park. That's where Kenny McPeak's place is now. He's got the old Stallion Station there.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Is that on Russell Cave?
On Russell Cave. What did I say?
Paris Park.
No, it's Russell Cave. Lord, many times I've run in and out to Russell Cave. I was born on the Russell Cave.
I know.
Right next to, in the cave.
In the cave.
In the cave. Anyway, he sired 18 stakes winners. I guess the best was probably Bo Diablo. Ruddy was a good race mare. And so I'm trying to think of some of the Waikiki. Was my Anchors Away was a pretty good filly. His broodmare sire of Make Sail, she won the Alabama, and Outer Space won Mother Goose. Tingle was a Spice Song filly that won. I saw her win the Ashland Stakes out here. She was a nice filly. But anyway, that's the kind of the story of Devil Diver. Anyway, you know, we've lost a lot of the old time racing where the handicaps, now if they put it 125 on a horse, you hear them scream from here to Memphis.
I know, and it was fun to follow them because they had some great rivalries.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well, before you book your late season mare, give the folks over at Spendthrift Farm a call. not too late to participate in Spencer's popular and successful Breed Secure program. The number is 859-294-0030. Talk to that Irishman over there, Dez Dempsey, or to Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker, and ask them how the Breed Secure program can benefit you, and it can. Keep in mind the first crop success for the young Spencer of Sires Into Mischief, Line of David, Temple City, Warrior's Reward, all sired stakes winners in their first crops to race. Then consider that the first foals by Archer to 2-year-olds and his first to face the start and gate one big, and then we do mean big. His 2-year-old filly, Tia Floor, took on colts in a maiden special at Keeneland and won by over 9 lengths. Not only that, but he has had 2-year-olds sell for $250,000, $120,000, $110,000, and $90,000 this year. Archer is a licensed sire runner. He won grade one stakes, earned over $832,000, and he's the only son of Arch at stud to win stakes at both 2 and 3. So call Spendthrift Farm. The number again, 859-294-0030, and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. All righty. Let me give you the names of the breeders, not breeders, the trainers who won stakes. And not stakes. I'm tired. Let me tell you.
Hang in there.
I'm about to spit out the bit, as a matter of fact. Trainers who's trained winners this past, since last week's show, we've had 8 of them, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep, my math's still good. Juan Rubalcaba had a couple. He had 2. One of them at Belterra, and the other at Indiana Downs. Troy Hamilton's saddled a winner at Mountaineer. Dane Kubinski saddled a winner. You remember when he used to ride around here? Dane did. And he rode mostly up in Maryland. And he's got a bunch of Maryland breds here, I think. Anyway, he won one at Indiana Downs. Jim Rankin won one at Presque Isle. Michael Ann Ewing won one at Indiana Downs. Matt Hebert won one at Belterra, and Marco Castaneda had a filly win at Mountaineer, a 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Arch. And incidentally, Marco has got another Arch filly, I should say. It's a redundant name. Tia Chu is her name. It's T-I-A-C-H-U-Y. Now, I don't know what that means, but she won that first time out at Mountaineer. No, it was her second start. She ran 4 first time out of Churchill, the center mountain, the Mountaineer, and she didn't look back. She opened up 6 and then coasted in and on a good track and very good time. Went 4.5 furlongs and 54-1. And Marco also saddled a Tia Floor, another Arch filly that won her first time out at Keeneland, beating colts. We just talked about her in a Spendthrift consignment. So I think Marco has got a good reason to like Arch. He's got 2 2-year-old fillies that can flat run by that stud horse. All right, let's look at the stakes that are going to run here today. Let's see. We got this out at Santa Anita, the grade one American Oaks. 1, 2, 3. Let's see, 7-horse field going in that. The Californian grade two is out at Santa Anita today. I'm just giving you the graded stakes that are run today. Running graded stakes at Penn National, the Penn Miles, a grade three race. Got a big field. Got a field of 11 going in that. Papa Cool is going in there. He's from the first crop of Temple City. Up at Churchill today, they're running the Aristides Stakes, named after the first winner of the Kentucky Derby, of course, and it's a grade three race for 3-year-olds. 7 of them going 6 furlongs. And they got a 6 furlong sprint named the Aristides, and of course he won the Kentucky Derby, which is at a mile and a quarter. And let's see, at Woodbine today, they're running Canal Cup. It's a grade three race. So I think it's those are the graded stakes. I think it's about time for me to spit out the bit. My watch is telling me that it is. I think I hear the music down there. All right. Don't forget Milt Toby's Clean Library Lecture Series. That's Tuesday, June the 2nd, 6:30 out at the Keeneland Library. I'll see you out there. I want to thank Mary Jane down at the station, and my good friend over here.
Oh, Jeff.
Jeff.
Real Jeff, good friend.
He's, yeah. Well, he's my good friend now. He got us through this. And he's filling in for Resi today. So thanks, Jeff.
Yes,
all right. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Happy trails to you.
Oh. Sorry about that, Jeff.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington, an LM Communications broadcasting station. LM Communications, 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. FIFA President Sepp Blatter held his first news conference today since his re-election. Blatter was peppered with questions about the ongoing U.S. investigation. Asked if he was worried about getting arrested himself, Blatter said, quote, arrested for what? Next question, close quote. For the second night in a row, there will be a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Conference Finals. Tonight in Anaheim, it's the Ducks against the Blackhawks. Chicago won the Cup in both 20-